So we're on Daf Peyam and Aleph, and we got up to Boy Rav Nachman, which in the wide lines, let's count down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. And you recall that we were discussing a case where Reuven is acting as an agent, a self-appointed agent, on behalf of Shimon to set up an Eruv. And we came to the conclusion, in the name of Rav Nachman, right before this boy Rav Nachman, that La'alocha u'machmir, both like Rav and like Shmuel, which means that both Erev Tchumen and Erev Chatzeros and Ed Tabut Shituf Uvos, they all need that when Reuven sets up the Erev on behalf of Shimon, he's got to be mezaka them through the principle of Zochel Yodim Shalom B'fonav, and he has to make a kinyan and acquire them on behalf of Shimon. Now we have a fourth Erev, and that's called Erev Tavshilin. And Rav Nachman vacillates about an Erev Tavshilin, is Tzorch L'Zakos or ain't Tzorch L'Zakos. So as you know, an Erev Tavshilin applies when you have Yontif that goes into Shabbos. So let's say it's a Friday Yontif, sure, and you want to cook or light candles on Friday for Shabbos. Normally, of course, Friday is Chol, you're allowed to do so, but here it's on Yontif, and the Rabbanan instituted what's called an Erev Tavshilin, and you begin your cooking on Erev Yontif, and you take that food that was cooked on Erev Yontif, and you place it, designated for Shabbos. And the Rabbanan say that that's as if you started your process of cooking not on Shabbat, not on Yontif, excuse me, but on Erev Yontif. So on Erev Yontif, you've already begun your process of cooking. And now the question is whether or not Tzorech Lizakos. So I'm just going to read to you a note here that quotes the She'iltos. Shesveko Shel Rav Nachman Hu Sharei Eruv Tavshilin Tzorech Shiyeh Bo Kizayis. Right, there's a whole parak in Masechta Beitza that is dedicated to Eruv Tavshilin. And the Gemara Beitza on Daf Tes Zayin establishes that you need a minimum of a Kizayis for an Eruv Tavshilin. Ukshu Meniach Eruv Tavshilin Avur Kama B'nei Odom Ain tzarch shiyeh be'eruv kizayis b'shil kol echad eladai b'kizayis achas l'kulam. So one kizayis suffices for many different people. Im kein nimtza shekol echad mehem somech af al hachelik shel chaver b'kizayis zeh. Each one is relying on the eruv, even though that kizayis belongs to someone else as well. It doesn't just belong to him. V'achelik shel kulam mo'el l'chol echad v'echad. And everyone's partnership, ownership in this kizayis is meaningful and is valid and relates to everyone else that's included in the Erev Tavshilin. V'im kein, yesh lo m'shein tzor klal shiyeh lo chelik b'eruv, el yochol lismoch al ha'eruv sheinicho avuro gamim ein lo bo chelik. You know, if we're saying that everyone's chelik works for everybody, so maybe I don't need, in the case where somebody did it on my behalf, I don't need to own a chelik because I'm included in the eruv. O dilma yesh lomar shekol zeh eino el k'sheyesh lo chelik be'eruv. When do we say that everyone's portion in the eruv, his partnership, works on behalf of everyone else in the eruv? That's only if everyone else is part of the eruv and each one has a chelik in the eruv. Avalim ein lo bo klal chelik, eino moel eruv zeh, eino moel lo eruv zeh. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef responded to Rav Nachman's question. He says, "Maiti boilach, why do you have such a suffix? Lo shmiela, did you not hear? Hod di Omar Rav Nachman bar Rav Ada, different Rav Nachman. Omar Shmuel, the name of Shmuel, eruvei tavshilin tzarech lezakos." So the Pella in the mind of Rav Yosef was, how did Rav Nachman vacillate at this point when Shmuel already in the earlier generation had already established that Erev Tavshin, like all the other Erevin, requires Lazakos? Amale, so Abaye says to Rav Yosef, you know, in a kind of rhetorical question, he says to him, Pshita delo Shmuele. Obviously, if Rav Nachman vacillated at this point, then he didn't have this transmission of Shmuel. Di Shmuele mighty boile. If Rav Nachman had been aware of the statement of Shmuel, then for sure he wouldn't have a suffix. So why are you asking? Did he hear it or did he not hear it? Amale, so Rav Yosef said, Atu eruve tchumin milo shama milo amar Shmuel ein tzarch lezakos. The Omar Iushit Sarach Lazakos. We see that in Erevin, Rav Nachman is not committed to Shmuel, meaning he doesn't accept everything that Shmuel says. For example, in Erev Tachumen, Shmuel made the statement and issued the ruling that you don't need Lazakos, and yet Rav Nachman was the one, that was the last line of the Gemara that we did yesterday, who paskined and ruled that you need Lazakos. So you see that even what Rav Nachman heard from Shmuel, he still analyzed it in a very original way, and he had doubts about it. So Abaye retorts now to Rav Yosef. He says, "Hachi Asha Bishle Mahasam Pligi Ravu Shmuel." Rav Nachman heard two opinions about whether Erev Tchumen needs Lazakos. That's Shmuel's opinion, or does not need Lazakos, which is Rav's opinion. And therefore, Kamash Malon, Rav Nachman wanted to teach us that Kechumra Demar v'chi Chumra Demar, that we're going to paskin L'chumra in Erev Tchumen, and we're going to require Lazakos in Erev Tchumen, and in Shituf Mavos, we're going to paskin L'chumra like Shmuel of Tzarech Lezakos of Al-Hacha. But here in the case of Erev Tavshilin, says Abaye, we don't know Machlokas about Erev Tavshilin, we only know the opinion of Shmuel. And therefore, Isa de Shmuele, if Rav Nachman had heard the opinion of Shmuel, then for sure he wouldn't have, Mika Devan the Polig, he wouldn't have had doubts as to what the halacha is, whether we accept Shmuel or not, because Shmuel is the only act in town. There's no one else who argues about it. But when you have Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, then, you know, Rav Nachman would have a suffix, and then he would have to decide what principle of what rule of psak to apply, and he's going to say kichumr demar, kichumr demar. But in a case like Erev Tavshilin, where there is no machlokas, then for sure had Rav Nachman been aware of the statement of Shmuel that you need lazakos, even in the case of Erev Tavshilin, despite all the explanations that we gave before in the name of the Shiltos, then for sure Rav Nachman would have certainly paskined without doubting about it, without vacillating about it, that we require Lazakos in the case of Erev Tavshil. Okay. Now, Rabosai, we're going back to the discussion of Erev Chatzeros. And we're talking about a case of a Chatzer, and the Bnei Chatzer are Jewish, but there's one Ben HaChatzer that shares that Chatzer who is non-Jewish. And we said that in such a case, the ownership of the non-Jew of rights to that Chatzer will undermine the Eruv, unless the guy will agree to rent out his rights to the Chatzer. Hahu Turzina, we're talking about a guy. His job was in security. He was a security man. And a turzina, Rashi explains, is the word itself is a compound of the word tur and zina. Tur is a shomer, and Zina's clay zion. So he was in charge of the weapon storage. I forgot the name for it. What's it called? You know, where they store the weapons?
Armory.
Armory. Yeah, so he was the security man over the armory. Okay, I don't know if this is relevant to our discussion, but just so we know what Turzina is. Anyway, Davi Vishvisei Rav Zera, he shared the same chatzer as Rabbi Zera. Literally, Vishvisei means they were neighbors. Amrule, so the Jews wanted to get this guy to, you know, remove his blockage and allow for the Eruv. So they said to him, Ogir lan rishusach, we're willing to pay you a price if you'll only agree to rent out your rishus in the chatzah, and then we can set up an Eruv, and we can be metaltal in the chatzah. V'lo ogir le, but he refused. So we know from all the sugyas that we've learned that his refusal now torpedoes the validity of the Eruv, unless we do what's called bitul rishus. But also l'kami de Reb Zera, Amrulei, they asked Reb Zera, ma'u l'megar midbesu, can we somehow circumvent the guy? He's, you know, a tough nut to crack. And we'll go to his wife, and guess what? She may agree to rent out her rishus in the chatzah. Would that be meaningful in a case where her husband refuses to do so? And can we rely on her, if she agrees, to be matir tiltul in the chatzah? Amalahu. So Reb Zera responded, Hachi Amar Eish Lakish Mishmei de Gavarab. We don't know who this Gavarab is. Some anonymous Adam Gadol, but Eish Lakish quotes this person. And Umano, if we research it, we'll find out who this anonymous Adam Gadol is. He's none other than Rabbi Chanina. And the statement, the ruling was of Rabbi Chanina, that Ishto Shel Adam HaRevet Shelo Midaito, that the wife can set up the Eruv even without the Rishus of her husband. Now, that's not exactly our case of the Turzina. That's a case where they're collecting a pas for an Eruv from each of the Bnei HaChotzer, and she, the wife of one of the Bnei HaChotzer, is allowed to contribute a pas, to be a partner, a shutav in the Eruv. And she doesn't have her husband's permission to do so. Now, there's a Tosis here on the bottom of the page, and there's one line in Tosis that's relevant to us now. I mean, there are other parts of Tosis that have to be studied, but Tosis points out that although she could give and contribute a pas for the Eruv, but she cannot play the same exact role as a husband if, let's say, one of the other Bnei HaChotzer is not available and she wants to be mezakeh the Eruv that she's contributing, her pas, on behalf of the other Bnei HaChotzer, that she cannot do. She does have the authority, or shall we say the legal rights, to participate in the Eruv and contribute her chelik in the Eruv, and that she doesn't even need her husband's knowledge or approval. But she doesn't have the power to be zoche on behalf of the Bnei HaChotzer. And apparently the reason for this is because the financial agreement between a husband and a wife, I mean, again, there are always exceptions to every rule, but if there was no stipulation to the contrary, then the ksuba means that within the framework of marriage, her possessions accrue to him. Now, again, we're not learning Masechta Ksuva, so this is really, really complicated. There's something called Nixei Malug, Nixei Katzon Barzel. And there are certain achasim where we will evaluate the market value of the achasim, and the Baal is only allowed to get profits from that market value. And that's called Nixei Tzon Barzel. But classic halach is the pas belongs to him. Now, for her to make a kinyan with his pas on behalf of someone else, that authority, that power, she doesn't have. What she could do is, within the framework of marriage, she can use her husband's possessions in a way that she benefits from them. So, for example, she wants to rely on this Eruv herself. And her rights to this pas within the framework of marriage are such that if for her benefit she wants to contribute that pas to the Eruv, her husband doesn't know anything about it, she can do so. Again, she doesn't have full ownership on the pas. He owns the pas. But she has enough rights to the pas that she can contribute her pas to the air. Okay. Now, again, who's who over here? Oh, yeah, Reb Zera. Now, Reb Zera wants to make an analogy. He wants to say that just like in the case of an Ashes Yisrael, she, without the knowledge of her husband, can contribute to the Eruv, to be Matutiltul. So too, in the case of a wife of a guy, she can rent out those rights to the Chatzer of her husband, without his knowledge, in order to be Matutiltul in a Chatzer. And just to summarize, what Reb Zera is teaching us is that there's one fundamental principle here that can apply in two different scenarios. And even though the scenarios are radically different one from the other, but the principle that underlies them is the same. And that is, we're going to rely on what a married woman is willing to give if we need that gift on her part, that acquisition, that transfer of ownership for the sake of the neighbor. And now we apply that principle in two ways. Number one, she could be matutiltul and validate the Eruv if she's an Ashes Yisrael and she contributes the pas to the Eruv without her husband's knowledge. And number two, if she's an Ashes Nachri and her husband is one of the Bnei HaChatzer, once again, she can contribute as a wife and be matutiltul in the Chatzer by renting out the rights that she and her husband own in that chutz, which is called schirus. Now the Gemara gives another story, and again we're talking about a terzina, and the Gemara says the following: Ahu terzina. He's in charge of the armory, right, we said. And he's not Jewish. David Bishvivusei de Rabbi Yehuda bar Oshia. So he lived in close proximity. He was a neighbor of Rabbi Yehuda. And once again, we have the problem of tiltul in the chatzer without this guy's schirus. Amri le, so the Jews that lived in the chatzer, they came to this guy, this Turzina, and they said to him, Ogir lon reshusach, please rent out your rights to the chatzah to us. And lo ogirle, he refused. Also, the coming to Rabbi Yehuda bar Oshia amrile, ma'u lemegu b'dvei, say, can we get the okay, the green light from his wife to enter into the schiris relationship. So now we can be matir tiltul lechatzel lohavi biyodi. He didn't know the answer. Also, the kami derav Masa, they went to Rav Nasa with the question lohavi biyodi. He didn't know the answer. Also, the kami derav Yehuda amalei hachi amar Shmuel ishto shal adam areves shalomi daito. And just like a Jewish woman could contribute to an erev chatzeris without her husband's knowledge, so to a non-Jewish woman can give schiris in order to be matir tiltul, even without his permission. Meisve, so they ask the following kasha. It says in the Brisa, Noshim she'ervu vinish tatfu shalom midas bailam ene ruv meirein shituv al shituv, that if the wives went ahead and they offered the pas without their husband's knowledge, this is disqualified both in the case of Bnei Amovui for Shitu Puvos and in the case of Chatzeros for Erev Chatzeros. Is this price as explicit against Shmuel? Lokasha hodi osar hodelo osar. That which Shmuel says, that ishto ma'arevet shalomi daito, that's only de osar. Meaning that her husband generates an isar on all the bnei chotzer, such that they're enjoined from taking from their houses out to the chotzer. And this would apply in a case of what's called ein labayis pesach acher. The only Pesach of the bayis is one that opens into a chotzer. Well, for example, in the case of Shita Mavos, where he generates an isur on the Bnei Amavui to carry from their chotzer respectively into the Mavui, that's a case where Ein Chatzero Pesuach Ela Lamov. He doesn't have a Pesach, another Pesach, besides that Pesach that opens into the Movu. In all these cases, Ishto Ma'areve Shalomi Daito. But the Brisa that says that Shalomi Das Bailo Lochala Eruv Ashituv, that's a case of Dolo Osar. Which means that eino oser al shar b'nei achotze lehotzi v'tehem lechotze g'gon shebeso pasuch l'shtei chatzeros. So he has a Pesach on both sides. He's got one Pesach that opens up into the chotze. He's got another Pesach that opens up to Rosh Hashanah on the other side of his house. And he uses as a general rule the other Pesach. He doesn't go through the Pesach into the chotze except on rare occasions, or the same thing in a mavui. And what does it mean that he doesn't generate an isur on the Bnei Amavui to carry from their homes to the Mavui? For example, if he has a chotzer that's situated between two Mavos, and he generally uses, when he goes in and out, the other Mavui, in such a case, if his wife wants to contribute Shalomi Daito for an Eruv, then in this case, it's eino oser aleim kidei lahatir l'shem, is ein ze eruv. That's not considered a valid eruv. We have to understand why. V'cheinim nos nashitu v'voy eino oser kidei lahatir tiltul mechatzel amavui ein ze shitu. Now, what I was thinking here is that what's, again, as we said, the monetary arrangement between her and her husband, who owns what? And it could be that she owns rights to utilize and use his possessions for her benefit. So in the case of one Pesach, which is called the Asar, so she has a great gain over here because... No, just one second. So it's... This is a case of the Asar. Right, there's only one Pesach, so he uses that one Pesach. Oh, and now the Bnei HaChatzer have no possibility of carrying into that Chatzer without the participation of this particular fellow. Just one second. One second. Now we're saying that in the case of Asar, ain a ruvo eruv. One second. So, no, just one second. It works like this. We have the statement of Shmuel, and Shmuel said that she can contribute to the Erev even without her husband's agreement, and it's a valid Erev. So Shmuel's talking about a case where her husband uses this chatzer on a regular basis because he has only one Pesach from his house that leads out to the chatzer. And now there's going to be an Iser on the Bnei HaChatzer to carry out from their homes if there's one member of the Chatzer who refuses to participate in the Eruv. That's called the Asar. Oh, so in such a case, we have to allow the wife to contribute to the Eruv. Even Shalom Midas Baila. In other words, the entire enterprise of the Eruv and the Heter to be metalta from the Batim into the Chatzah all depends upon him and now on her. So now we're going to allow her, for the sake of saving this Eruv, to participate in the Eruv, even Shalom Midas Baila. The Brisa says, Noshim she'eruv nishtatvish lo das balem ein eruv on eruv ein shituv on shituv. That's a case of delo osar, where he has two openings, and he generally uses the other one, not this one. And in such a case, the eruv is viable even without the participation of this couple, I'll call it. And it's eno osar. And therefore she, you know, there's no pressing need, shall I say, for the Rabbanon to allow her to benefit from the pass without her husband's approval. Okay, so now it comes out that according to Shmuel, only in a case where there's one Pesach, which is called Oseres, or Oser, then we'll allow and validate her participation in the Eruv, even without his permission. Hachi Nami Mistabra, the Gemara says that even if you weren't pressed to come to this conclusion because of the Brisa and the question we had from the Stira from the Brisa, in and of itself it makes sense. Dim Kain, Kasha de Shmuel ad de Shmuel. If you're going to tell me that Shmuel made a blanket statement, all-inclusive, that a wife is allowed to be ma'ariv without her husband's das, then we have an inner contradiction of two statements of Shmuel. Why? The Omar Shmuel, Echad b'nei Mavui, Sherogil l'shtatev im b'nei Mavui, v'lo nishtatev, is b'nei ha-movi nechnasim l'toch beso v'notlim shitufan mimenu bal karcho, meaning if he refuses to join in the Eruv and therefore he's torpedoing the viability of the Eruv, then we're allowed to just go to his wife and against his will, take whatever we need for the Eruv. So this is all a statement of Shmuel. Rogil in, ein rogil lo. Right, Shmuel made this statement in a case of rogil. Then we're allowed to rely on the wife. Implying clearly, almost explicitly, that if he's eno rogil, then we're not going to, eno rogil meaning he has another Pesach, we're not going to rely on his wife and take the shituf without the husband's permission. Now, when Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said that ishto shel adam areves shelo midaito, is we're going to have to assume that even in the case of eino oser, then it's an explicit contradiction of two statements of Shmuel. Elavadai shmamino, we must come to the conclusion that Shmuel only relies on the wife without the approval of the husband in a case of oser, but not in a case of eino oser. And therefore, we can reconcile that with the statement of Shmuel that says, in a case of Rogil, then we could take from the wife. Just one second. In the case of Rogil, right, Rogil meaning that he only has one Pesach. Let me just double check that one more time. Make sure I'm not, I got the mathematics here straight. Echad Mavishu Rogil. Is Rogil in? Ain Rogil lo? That only in the case of Rogil did Shmuel allow for relying on Ishto. And if that be the case, then we can only reconcile that with the original statement of Shmuel of Ishto Shaladu Marevishlo Midaito only in the case of the Asar. So the word Rogil is basically synonymous with the word di'asar. Because Rogil means he only has that one Pesach and he only travels out to Rishon LeZion through that chotzer. Lema misayele. Let's prove Shmuel from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Kofin oso. Lasos lechi v'kora lemavui. In other words, we want to be matir tiltul in a mavui on Shabbos, and one of the bnei ha-mavui refuses to be mishtatev in the sheet of uvos, which means in setting up a lechi and a korah. So that we can force him to be matir tiltul in a mavui on Shabbos. And now we're going to apply the logic of Shmuel, that Kishem Shekofen Lasos Lechi Vekor Lahatil Tiltum Mavi Kachev Shel Litol Shituv Baal Korcho Kdei Lahatil Taltum Mavi. So from this first case of the Braisa, we're going to derive Shmuel's conclusion. Because in the case of the Braisa, we want to be Matit Tiltum the Mavui, and we can force that recalcitrant, you know, that particular Ben Amovi that refuses, we can compel him to create a Lechi and a Korah to be Matit Tiltum the Mavui. And Shmuel is just extending this and applying it to the case of Shituv Mavos. So if we turn to Daf Pei Amid Beis, the Gemara says no. There's no proof from the Braisa. And why is that? Shiny Chosam, the Braisa is different. The Lecha Mechitzos. Without the Lechi and Korah, the Mavui is completely exposed. There's no ceiling on top of it. And it becomes very difficult to protect, to stand as a shomer, if it's open on all sides. Therefore, kofen oso. So again, it's not that we're kofen oso in order to be matir tiltil in the mavui, but rather to be matir or to facilitate shmira. Now, let me just, if you can bear with me for a moment here, and let's see if we can add something from the English translation. He says the following. He says that the case of the Braisa, which is a Mavui that doesn't have a Lechi or a Korah, there are no partitions, which are Mechitzos in English, surrounding it on all sides. It's completely open on one side. Therefore, an unwilling resident can be compelled to contribute towards the closing off of the fourth side in order to ward off intruders. That's what we said, Kedela Shomra. So again, we have an area, a Mavui, that's totally exposed on all sides. And there are no Mechitzos. And in such a case, intruders could come into the Mavui. It's absolutely accessible. It's open on all sides. There are no Mechitzos. So here in this case, the Braisa rules that we could compel those members of the Mavui to join together in this Shituv Mavos. So that for the census, for the achievement of security, we're going to allow forcing the unwilling resident. I think there's a word in English for that. No, recalcitrant. Maybe I'm not. Anyway, to contribute to the Shituv Mavos. That doesn't prove anything about the classic case that Shmuel is addressing of setting up an Eruv without the agreement of one of the Bnei HaChatzer. Right? What was Shmuel's language? Let me just reiterate Shmuel on Daf Hey Amid Aleph. Shmuel says, Noshim she'irvu v'nishtatfu shalom midas baleim is is, I'm sorry, Ishto Shel Odo, is Ma'arevet Shelo Midaito. So we cannot prove anything from this brisa, says the Gemara, because that's a special case of Lecha Mechitzos. And without Lechi and Korah, the Mavi is completely exposed and intruders could come in. It's very difficult to Lishomro, to keep them out of the Mavu. So therefore, Kofenoso. But that doesn't prove anything about Shmuel in the case of Erev Chatzeros. He says, because in the case of Erev Chatzeros or Shita Mavos, we're just trying to permit carrying. So for the sake of permitting carrying, we're not sure, based on this price alone, that Shmuel is correct, that we're allowed to go without his das, behind his back, so to speak. Lishnach Rino, Mitzad Shiny. That it's different when it's on the side. So he says in the footnote that there's some sort of error in the text. Instead of Mitzad Shiny, it should read Bebezdin Shiny. So the Brisa says that we can collect the contribution of this neighbor who refuses to participate in the Eruv through legal means, meaning through Bezdin. But we're not going to allow the other residents to seize the heir of contribution against his will. He says the following. Masha Omer Abraisa Shebnei Amovui Kofinoso Lasos Lechi Vekoro Eina Kavona Shebnei Amovui Atzmam Yecholim Lito Mimenu Balkorcho El Shebezdin Kofinoso Lishtatef in Bnei Amovui Basias Lechi Vekorah V'Emikan Raya L'Divrei Shmuel Shomer Bnei Amovui Atzmo Yecholim Lachufo Lishtatef Imam B'Movui. So we don't have a proof for Shmuel, because the language of Shmuel is Bnei Amovi Nichnasim Letoch Beis Avinotlim Shituv Mimenu, which sounds like, I mean, it's pretty explicit that Shmuel is allowing the Bnei Amovi to, you know, to take the Shituv Bal Karcho. Again, we said that it has to be required, we require Das Ishto. But at least as far as the husband is concerned, it's Bal Karcho. And there's no mention of Bezdin over here. So that the Brisa that we thought would be a support for Shmuel, if it's referring to Bezdin, it means that a person on his own is not allowed to, you know, take the Eruv. For that we need, you know, it's not anarchy. We need Bezdin to be the ones to accomplish that goal. Now let's just see if we can get to the Mishnah, which would be a nice place to stop. Itmar Rav Chiya v'Rav Ashi Omar Osim Lechi Le'ashera. So we have now a tree that was worshipped, and you're not allowed to have any anno. It has to be burnt. It's an Asherah tree. And he takes this tree and he uses it to make a lechi. Can that lechi be matir mavui? And the answer is, Rav Chiya says yes. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar Osim Kora Me'atzi Asherah. You want to be matir tiltil the mavui? You could do so by either a lechi or a korah. In this case, you're allowed to take an atzerah tree and use it as a korah. Mandi oma korah kol shkein lechi. Reish Lakish would certainly agree to Rav Chiya, but mandi oma, but going to Rav Chiya, lechi aval korah. Lechi in aval korah lo. That a korah, which needs a minimum shear of a rochav of a tefach, now we have an asherah tree which is designated to be burnt. Then we apply the principle of kituse mechta shi'ura. It's as if this korah doesn't exist. It's as if this korah that's made out of an asherah doesn't exist. It's been burnt up already. And therefore, it's lacking the rochav of a tefach. Mashenke, in the case of a lechi we said is a kolshu, doesn't require any minimum width, and therefore, even an asherah tree would be valid for a lechi. That's the shita of Rabbi Chiya. And this leads us to the second Mishnah on Daf Pei Amud Beis. I'm sorry, to the first Mishnah on Daf Pei Amud Beis. Of Nismayit HaOchel. And that's where we'll pick it up in Mirza Hashem tomorrow. Now let's just go back for a moment to the Gemara here on the top of Pei Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, Shiny Hasam Deleka Mechitzos. So we said that without a Lechi and a Korah, the Mavi is exposed, and it's very difficult to protect it from the intruders, from the outsiders, and therefore we can force this refusing neighbor to participate in the Shituf Muvos. Now the Ritva says that he understands the absence of a korah, perhaps, but lechi. Madua mavui sheishbo lechi kal yoser l'shomra. What is the existence of a lechi would help him protect from the intruders? And Tosis has a girsia the ika mechitza, which means that the Gemara's rejection is that we could say that even though it seems clear from the Braisa that we should force him and coerce him to be matir tiltul in the mavui, but nevertheless, a notlim shituf bal korcho. In the case of shituf, we're not going to force him. Kevet she'afim yitain shituf yeh osul etaltul b'mavui she'erev shituf shenasu shalom idas ein yichol einam yichom lahatir b'chotzer. Shebein im tama eruv mishum kinyan. That's a sugya back on Memtes. Shekonim kulam rishus bebayis sheiriv bo beinim atam mishum dira. Shenechshav shodam dar b'makom pito. Shenechshav kol bnei amovi dirasim hi bebayis sheiriv sham. Yefshal lasos bal karcho. She efshal liknos lo dira. Olikva dirasim b'makom she ha eruv bal karcho. And if you have a girsa of Deleka Mechitzos, which is the opposite of Tosis, is the Ika Mechitzos. Yesh Lefarish Kein, You could say that it means that Rak Lasos Lechi Vekora Shebelo Alechi Vekora Chosib Mechitzas Hamovui Vyosu Taltap Mavui Atzmo Bozer Roy Lochuf Aval Ein Lanu Lochuf Losei Shituf Kidei Lahatil Lataltil Minabatim Lechatzes Minachatzes Lemovui. Okay then, so we're going to stop here. We're up to the Mishnah here on the top of Daf Peyomid Beis.